Remain standing and turn to the scripture reading today from Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and reading verses 11 through 19. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. By the which we draw nigh unto God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. It's been a while since we were in Hebrews, with the Christmas season intervening. And I'm sure that many of you have kind of forgotten where we were. But we have been in chapter 7. We've been talking about Melchizedek and how he is the one from whom our great high priest follows in the order of Melchizedek, the great high priest being Jesus Christ. I've been asking myself as we read through this section, one of the things I've been asking is, why is it that this whole issue of having a great high priest is so important to the writer of Hebrews that he wants to convey to us the significance of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And he goes to great pains in this section to contrast the order of Melchizedek with the order of the Levitical priesthood, and to point out what was deficient in the order of the Levitical priesthood, and what is therefore then sufficient in the one Christ after the order of Melchizedek. What was deficient about that Old Testament order of priests? And as we go through here, we can see a number of different issues that are addressed as deficiencies. One of those deficiencies we spoke about the last time we gathered. The Levitical priesthood was intimately linked to the law. It was the law of Moses. And out of the law of Moses, it was such that they got their standing as priests. They could receive tithes. For example, they could perform the sacrifices that were necessary for the people. However, all of those sacrifices would be ineffectual. They would all be ineffectual in the sense that they saved nobody from their sin. They were, as Hebrews chapter 1 puts it, an annual reminder of sin. But they had not the power to change people's sinful hearts. They would be offered year by year, but those sacrifices did not make perfect those who came for those sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 20 verse 1 makes that point, and it goes on to say in verse 2, "For then would they have not ceased to be offered?" In other words, if the sacrifices offered by the Levitical priests could make people perfect, then why were the sacrifices continuing? Why was the blood continually being shed in the altar, even at the time when the writer of Hebrews wrote? It was still going on. He goes on to mention in Hebrews 10 verse 2, "Then they would they have not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers, once purged, would have had no more conscience of sin." But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder again and again made of sins every year. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." The sacrifices offered by the Levitical priesthood were deficient. They could not make anyone perfect, and by perfect I mean perfectly righteous and holy in the sight of God. No Levitical priest who administered the sacrifices, even if he were to give up his own life and be sacrificed along with the animal sacrifices, no Levitical priest by such a sacrifice could save anyone from sin and its eternal wages. The author's point is, however, that a great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, has come. That a great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, has come, the same Melchizedek who Abraham paid tithes to. In our verses today, as we come to verses 11 through 19, we continue in this discussion the comparison and the contrast between the Levitical priesthood and the great high priest who has come after the order of Melchizedek. And we continue to point out the problems with the previous Levitical order. If, verse 11, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek rather than one named after the order of Aaron? You understand, that's pretty simple. The argument is that perfection is necessary. Perfection is necessary for the people of God. If perfection could have been attained through the ministrations of the Levitical priesthood, why is it necessary for another priest, to arrive after the order of Melchizedek? Rather than continue those through the order of Aaron, or of which Levi is associated. For when there is a change of the priesthood, there is necessarily a change of the law as well. You have to get this in your mind, to get it embedded in your mind, that with the coming of the great high priest, the change in the priesthood from the order of Aaron and Levi to the order of Melchizedek, comes automatically a change in the law. Very important. And I'll have to carefully describe how that change is manifested. There is necessarily a change in the law as well, for the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe from which no one has ever served at the altar, and I might add, from which no law ever permitted someone to serve at the altar. It is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses, the law, said nothing about priests. Even though it has been an unspoken thing up to this point in the book of Hebrews, the word perfection now leaps into the discussion. If perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, the word perfection means completion or fulfillment. And perfection or fulfillment. If there had been a certain completion, if there had been a certain fulfillment through the Levitical priesthood, then things would be fine. But the text doesn't say that. It says perfection was unattainable. Unattainable. Whatever the Levitical priests did with their multitude of priests, sacrifices, however nice and wonderful and God-fearing were the Levitical priests as they ministered the sacrifices, perfection nevertheless was unattainable in the Old Covenant under the rules of the law, under the administration of the law, under the dispensation of the law. Perfection was unattainable through the Levitical priesthood. This perfection has to be understood in the sense of the argument that's going on here. If you want to give another synonym for perfection, it's the word holiness. It's the word holiness. And holiness in the sight of God. Moral, ethical holiness. Perfect moral holiness in the sight of God. You see, the scripture is replete with the fact that God is looking for a holy people. That God is looking for a holy people. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, New Testament passage, where Peter writes to his listeners, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." A holy nation, a particular people who would show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Deuteronomy 7 verse 6, we just read, "You are a holy people unto the Lord your God. The God, thy God, has chosen you to be a special people to Himself above all the people that are on the face of the earth." And finally, 1 Peter 1, verse 16, "In all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." God is in the business of holiness. He's in the business of making His people holy. Levitical priesthood, for all of its sacrifices and all of its offerings, could not. It was ineffectual in the sense of making people holy in the sight of God. They may have looked outwardly holy, but the entire history of the people of God in the Old Testament is one of unholiness. It is one of rebellion against God. It is one of apostasy against God. It is one of idolatry against God. And on it goes over and over and over again, witnessing to the sinful condition of all of our hearts, not just theirs. Though Levitical priest was holy, because all humans by sin are unholy. I hate to tell you that, but that's the truth. Unholy in the sight of God. Unrighteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. No matter how good they were, no matter how much they did, no matter how much work they did, no matter how many sacrifices they did, no Levitical priesthood priest was perfect. They can offer 1,000 sacrifices and offer the blood of 1,000 firstborn spotted without spot lambs, but they could not make holy the people of God. They could not remove the sins that covered their hearts. They could not remove sin as far as east is from west, from the sight of God. Verse 11, if the Levites could have brought that perfection, then what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek? If it could have happened through the Levites, then why did it not happen? Why was it necessary for another priest to come after the order of Melchizedek? When one comes from the order of Melchizedek as high priest, a change, verse 12, in the law must also come about. No one from Judah ever served at the altar, verse 13. Christ is from Judah, and he is the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Because he has come, the administration, the era, the dispensation of the law must also change. Of necessity, a change in the law as well, verse 12. Those two, think of it this way, the priesthood and the law are interchanged. And what they're doing. The priesthood belongs to the administration, Levitical priesthood belongs to the administration of the law. And because Christ has come, a new administration has come. He doesn't go into naming it. We have sometimes named it various different things, but it's predominantly an administration of grace. The change, if the law changes and a new administration comes, the change is not, and here's what's important, the change in the law is not that the law is abandoned or its penalty for sin removed. Christ's own words said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill them." It's not that the law is to be abandoned or its penalty forgotten. It's that a new administration has changed things. Christ has come to fulfill the law. Christ has come to be the fulfillment of the sacrifices. Christ has come to make his people holy, which was impossible through the ministrations of the Levites. And I dare say it is impossible for any other priest who's ever lived to accomplish the kind of perfection God is looking for in his people to be holy. Impossible. Verse 19, skipping a little bit, says the law makes no one perfect. The law makes no one perfect. The law or the administration of the law or the sacrifices of the Levites, no one under the law is perfect in the eyes of God. That means that means that no matter how hard one tries to keep the law, he will never succeed in being perfect, never succeed in having perfection in the eyes of God. It won't happen. And that's what people do. They read the law of God, and say, let me try to keep it. Let me do the best I can. If I do the best I can, that'll be good enough for God. God will have to accept me. No, 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 no. No, no, don't think that. That's the way of death. You need another perfection that cannot be come through the keeping of the moral law. And whether it's the moral law, or whether it's the law of Buddha, or the law of the Hindus, or the law of the Muslims, or the law of some other religion, as long as it depends on your works for salvation, it is imperfect in the eyes of God. It will not yield salvation because it isn't addressing the critical need that we all have to be holy in God's sight. And that can only come when the heart is changed. All a million sacrifices of pigs, or excuse me, not pigs. That really wouldn't work. A million sacrifices of lambs and sheep is not going to cut it in the eyes of God. It is evident that Christ arises from Melchizedek and the tribe of Judah precisely because he will be the one who will make us perfect in the eyes of God. Christ is the great high priest by divine oath. Verse 17, we've seen this before. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. On the one hand, verse 18, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. Weakness and uselessness. And then he goes on to say what that former commandment is in the parenthesis. He says, in parenthesis, for the law made nothing perfect. We're back up to verse 11. Perfection cannot come through the law or the Levitical sacrifices. Perfection cannot come. Why? Because the law is weak. And the law, in terms of granting perfection and holiness, is useless. And both of those words give a little bit of clarity to the meaning. Speaks of annulling the former commandment. The context has to mean the law, not just as one commandment, but the law as 10 commandments, and all the attending dispensation of the law is useless, and it is weak in the sense of making people holy. It did a good job of making people look outwardly holy, but that wasn't enough. That wasn't what it was intended to do. It wasn't intended to make people look outwardly holy. It was intended to bring conviction of sin and to drive God's people to Christ. Galatians chapter 3, the law is our tutor, our schoolmaster, to lead us to Christ, to lead us to the great high priest, to lead us to the priest after the order of Melchizedek. That word, useless, can be also translated harmful. Harmful. How can the law of God be harmful? In and of itself, it is not harmful. It's what people do with it. It's what they did with it with regard to their salvation. They made it their God. Keep the law. And by focusing so much on keeping the law, they thought themselves without need of another high priest. Because they thought they were holy enough and good enough. I'm sorry. Can you really be holy enough and good enough to stand in the presence of God when all around you the angels are calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. His holiness extends all over the earth." You think you're holy? You have no idea what that means. Our holiness is as filthy rags before God. So the former commandment, along with the dispensation that authored the priesthood, is passed. A new order has come. After the order of Melchizedek, led by the great high priest, Jesus Christ. Verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect. Oh my. If nobody can be perfect in the sight of God, if people really took this seriously, there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But thank God that isn't the end of the verse. But the bringing in of a better hope did. But the bringing in of a better hope did. Did what? Made us perfect. Made us perfect in the eyes of God, through which we draw nigh unto God. Yeah, you're not. We all are still sinners. We all still sin, right? We're all not perfect. 100%. Perfect in the eyes of, or not 100% perfect in the eyes of one another. But in the eyes of God, the work of the great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, has done something the Levite priest could not do. As the Son of God, he offered himself up for our sins. He made the price. He paid the price for our sins. He removed our sins from the sight of God as far as east and as from west. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? And you see, I asked the question, why is it that we're focusing in on this priesthood of Melchizedek when he's a character that's ancient, and yet in God's kingdom, there's continuity between what happened with him and Abraham and what is happening to you right now in this world and to your neighbors and your friends. There is only one great high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. By his blood, by his sacrifice, he has washed away your sins. By his righteousness, you are clothed by that righteousness. How? God said so. God declared you through faith in Christ righteous in his sight. And finally, it doesn't end there. God gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is involved intimately in working in our lives to help us be more righteous, more holy, more perfect in the eyes of God. The great high priest Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, did this, accomplished it, rose it from the dead, sits in heavenly places, now interceding on your behalf. No Levitical high priest could do that. No law associated with it could do that. But thank God for Jesus Christ. Do not, hey, brothers and sisters, do not ignore this passage. Treasure this passage. I've given you some insight that a lot of people in this world don't have. Excuse me. Through the scriptures, I've given you some insight that a lot of people in this world don't have. They're looking. Maybe not for calling it a great high priest, but they're looking for somebody to intercede on behalf of them with God. And they turn to another human being. They turn to another Levitical priest who offers them all kinds of things, who twist the scriptures, and they willingly follow. Don't you dare! Don't you dare. This is a... Okay, I'll go there. Probably this isn't my strongest point, but I want to make this point anyway. Out there in the Christian community, there is a view called dispensational premillennialism. Or premillennial dispensationalism, whatever it is. But one of the features of that is that before Jesus returns, Christ is going to come and reign in Jerusalem, and they're going to institute all the Levitical priesthood sacrifices. Why in the world would they do that? Don't you want Jesus? Don't you want Him as your great high priest? You need Him as your great high priest. You don't need somebody else. It's detrimental. It's injurious. It's death to follow somebody else instead of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask You, Lord, for faith, continuing to strengthen our faith in the Jesus that we read about so clearly in the Scriptures. We are those who have not seen, but believed. By Your grace we believe. Hold us forever in Your grace. Hold us forever, Lord, close to You and close to our great high priest, Jesus Christ. Encourage us, O Heavenly Father, to live for Him and to be more and more holy, so that one day in Your presence, we will stand. We won't be running away as the first Adam did. But in Christ, the second Adam, we will stand before our God and confess our hope and our help is in Jesus. Amen.